I'm Brian Wilson alongside Mary Walter.
Yes, and good morning. Joining us right now is Brad Bauman. He is the spokesperson for Seth Rich's family, and you know that story has been in the news lately, especially since the anniversary of his murder is coming up this July. Brad Bauman, thank you so much for taking the time to join us. We really appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys having me. Thank you.
So we know that there were some reports out. There was a special investigator involved in this case. You told BuzzFeed, though, that in an interview with BuzzFeed, that Seth Rich's job at the DNC had nothing to do with IT, nothing to do with internal cybersecurity, so the hack would not have been in his domain, and he wouldn't have had access to the emails obtained by WikiLeaks. So there's no way he could have been involved in this. My question to you is, how do you know that?
Well, it's been very well reported, and obviously, you know, we know exactly what Seth was working on at the DNC. Mm-hmm. He was working on analytical models that were looking at how people vote and whether people were getting out to the polls. That is a very, very different department mm-hmm. in the DNC than even like IT. Like the data world, the folks who work in data for both the Democratic Party and even the Republican Party, who are doing sort of that theoretical level math of trying to figure out who's going to go to the polls and how we can, you know, get them to the polls, is a very different thing than say, you know, hey, come fix my computer, set up the printer, set up an email address, or manage the emails that are coming through, the server. He just simply wouldn't have had access to any of that.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you, though, and look, we're very sensitive to the family and their plight, you know, after all they've gone through to hear talk that they feel is wrong. I appreciate you coming on here to give us their perspective.
Sure.
But you look at the comments of Julian Assange, who has hinted that there was some connection, and mm-hmm. and you look at the very unusual circumstances surrounding his death, you know, it was basically a robbery, but then nothing was taken. And it does raise questions. It makes people ask questions. You understand why those questions are asked, right?
Well, but I think that the questions need to be directed not at the family and need to be directed at Julian Assange. The burden of proof here needs to be on Julian Assange to not just stop halfway and to make a bogus claim about Seth Rich during an election, and then to go completely quiet about Seth Rich and whether or not. You know, the fact of the matter is that it was completely irresponsible, and frankly, it was very manipulative. And Julian Assange, who frankly has his own set of political goals, has his own set of motivations, you know, he doesn't care about us as Americans. He doesn't care about the damage that he's doing to the body politic or getting all of us to point fingers at one another. All he cares about is his own agenda, and I feel like he did all of us a disservice in what he did during the election and hasn't answered for any of it, frankly.
Can I ask you a question about the laptop? Who has looked at the laptop? Where is the laptop right now? Who has had possession of that since Seth's death?
Sure. His laptop is in the, what do you call it? You know, his personal laptop is in the hands of the family and the Metropolitan Police Department. Those are the only two people who've ever looked at it. The FBI has never had control of the laptop. They have never investigated the laptop. They've never been involved in the investigation of Seth Rich's murder. They never performed any forensic analysis on it. So the fact that there was this, you know, unnamed federal investigator who said that he saw it, it's bogus.
And you're saying that the laptop is now in the possession of the family?
His personal laptop is in the possession of the family.
Thank you. Okay.
Yeah, and the same for his cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, he had been at his girlfriend's, from what I understand, and he was walking home, correct?
No, that's not correct.
Okay, it's not. So clear that up.
Yeah, sure. He was at Lou's. which is a bar in it's in Columbia Heights.
Okay.
And had taken a long walk and was on the phone with his girlfriend.
That's what. Okay.
Where they were talking, you know, about the nature of their relationship, and they were talking about things, and you know, he was walking around, and that's. Let me ask you,
if this is out of the realm of possibility of what could have happened, what does the family think happened here?
So there are two things that I just want to state. The first is that I think that if there was any shred of credible evidence that showed anything other than what the police have said happened, which was that this was a botched robbery attempt. If there was something that wasn't just hearsay, if there was a tangible bit of evidence that showed that there was anything that either Seth was dealing with or involved in that proved that there might have been another motive for this murder, I think that the parents and certainly the family would allow the evidence, and I want to use that word evidence, to guide the investigation. But the problem that we've repeatedly run into over the last almost year is that no actual tangible, provable evidence has surfaced that suggests anything other than a botched robbery attempt. And that's one of the reasons why the family is so insistent on fighting these hearsays and rumors and fake news stories, because they can't wrap their minds around possibilities if those possibilities don't come with something that someone can put in front of them and say, see, here.
I understand.
This
that.
Is real.
Yeah, I understand that. They lost a son. I totally understand that.
Well, Brad Bauman, we want to thank you so much for coming on the show and helping us understand how the family looks to this whole thing. Greatly appreciate
it.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you guys for allowing me to come on.